the history of religion and how religion has shaped modern society is well documented. But what about the history of those who have challenged religion?
Our next guest says atheists helped to shape the modern world. He's trying to fill the void on information with his latest book. It's called Imagine There's No Heaven, How Atheism Helped Create the Modern World. Mitchell Stevens joins us. He's a historian and professor of journalism at New York University. Mitch, welcome back to Central Time.
It's nice to be back with you.
Well, on a broadly speaking level, do you think atheists throughout history and their contributions have been ignored or overlooked?
I certainly think they've been ignored, in part because history was written by the dominant people in a culture, and the dominant people in most cultures in human history have been religious. But I think the role of atheism has been quite important in the development of science and development of learning, and also in the development of human rights and liberty.
Is there something fundamentally different about the contributions atheists or non-believers have made to the great religious traditions of the world?
Well, there's no doubt that the great religious traditions have contributed a lot, but there are tens of thousands of books detailing that, and I thought that the contributions of those who've challenged religion, of non-believers, should be recognized. And I think mostly it comes down to two things. Atheists have been very good at saying we need to focus on this earth, on this universe, on the natural world, not the supernatural world. And atheists have also been very good at saying we need to focus on this life, not some imagined afterlife or other life. And these two moves have been tremendously fertile in human history.
And you also make the case that whereas a religious tradition, the prime motivation is to accept the religious authority, whatever form that might take, atheism comes from and enhances an idea of challenging authority and trying to find something new.
Well, of being open to observation and experiment, which Newton, shortly before he died, said are the two best ways of understanding anything. And religion always pushes, as you put it, authority. The idea that what is written in some book or what is said by some religious leader can't be challenged. And that's not a good way, we've learned, of pushing human knowledge forward.
I tend to think of atheism, non-belief in a particular religion, as a fairly modern thing, but you trace it pretty far back.
Yeah, well, we know that religion is very old. It's hard to find any society in human history that doesn't have some sort of belief in some sort of other world. But I think what I learned in investigating this history is that challenges to religion are also very old. They're not always expressed out loud. They're not always recorded. If they are written down, often those books somehow don't manage to survive. But when you can look, either in anthropological literature or in attacks on atheists sometimes give us clues, you can see that it's been around for a long time. I mean, there's a poem that seems to be somewhat anti-religion that goes back 4,000 years in Egypt. There's evidence of non-believers, people who ask the question I love, how can that be when told that there is existence after death, for example? That's in the anthropological literature. So that's in preliterate societies.
When we think of ancient Greece, I think back of the mythology books I read as a kid, Zeus and Hera and Athena and all of them. But you also point out that there was a significant atheist community that made a lot of contributions to the development of thought in ancient Greece.
Well, there were enough atheists in Greece during perhaps its golden age, one of the great ages of learning in human history, that Plato was upset by them. He thought there were too many. He thought he was dealing with a kind of hotbed of atheism in Athens, and they have a way of turning up where Greece's advances are also turning up. For example, the scientist and philosopher Anaxagoras, who actually didn't just assume that the sun is something pulled around by a god on a chariot, but went and investigated a meteorite and concluded that the sun is a red-hot mass of metal which puts brightness into the moon, or the historian Thucydides, who may have been a student of Anaxagoras, who, when he gave his history, unlike his predecessors, a Greek historian, Herodotus, didn't tell stories of men riding dolphins and of curses coming true. He decided to look for what he called the clear truth of what happened. He didn't, when he talked about the plague in Athens, he didn't talk about odd prophecies that may somehow seem to have affected it. He talked about symptoms and how it spread. And so it was an extraordinary period in human history, and a period in which atheists were very important.
Jumping ahead rather a lot, the Enlightenment period in France was arguably the dawn of modern atheism, or what we'd think of it. How dangerous was it initially in that period to express atheistic beliefs?
Well, perhaps the greatest of the French thinkers, and perhaps the greatest of the French atheists, was Denis Diderot. And Diderot wrote his books where he challenged religion, just like he wrote his books where he challenged monarchy, under pseudonyms. He did not publish them under his own name, but people had an idea what was going on. And for the one book where he really came out as a non-believer in religion, the police came and got him, and he ended up spending a month in a dungeon and a couple of months in a prison in France. So it was very dangerous to do. But nevertheless, it was being done, and there was a salon in Paris that Diderot attended twice a week for decades, run by his buddy Baron de Holbach, which was filled with non-believers. At one point, Baron de Holbach decides to count how many atheists are sitting around the table, and according to Diderot, he counted 15 with three more who hadn't decided yet. And these were some of the great thinkers in France and in the world who stopped by when they were in Paris.
One of the concerns people express about atheism is that if you run a society without God, without religion, you lose your moral framework. Things will go nuts. And soon after Diderot, you had the French Revolution, and there was the terror, and things really did seem to go bad. How do we square that? Was it because of atheism that we saw the terror and on ahead to atheist communism in the last century?
Well, there's no doubt that atheism has been associated with a couple of very bad moments in human history. The terror, when the guillotine was moving rapidly, continued during the period when atheists, it was a brief period of a few months, when atheists took control of the French Revolution. So it's an inglorious period in this history. And then when Marx, who was an atheist, and Lenin, and then his followers, Lenin and Stalin, took control of the Soviet Union, there also was a tremendous amount of killing. So these were bad times. I think what atheists had to work out was that you don't just substitute another kind of religion for the religion you've gotten rid of. And I think the problem during the French Revolution was in part that they kind of made a religion out of non-religion. And certainly I think that was one of the problems with Soviet communism, that it started to acquire all the attributes of a religion, with a kind of utopian future, a kind of heaven, with a cause that it was worth dying for and worth killing for. And I think it's taken much of the 20th century, but I think humankind is starting to learn that it's not enough to get rid of some of these some of the religions, which have also caused enough killing in the world. But we also have to make sure we don't substitute kinds of secular religions for them.
We're talking to historian Mitchell Stevens about his new book, Imagine There's No Heaven: How Atheism Helped Create the Modern World. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're continuing our discussion on how the contributions of atheists throughout history may have helped create the modern world. And we'd like to hear from you on this, too. What do you think about atheism? Has it been good or bad for the modern world, and why? And how important do you think the role of atheism has been for society? You can call in at 800-642-1234 or send us an email, talk at WPR.org.
We'll go right to our callers now. We've got Bill on the line in Greendale. Bill, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, great show. I just wanted to say I'm a believer. You know, I think that there is a God of love that I experience inside and I see around me, but I have no problem with people who say there isn't a God. You know, and this gentleman here, he's informative. He also believes in humanity and science, too, which I think is important. So I just wanted to say that.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. And Mitch, we have something that we wouldn't have seen 500 years ago, atheists and believers existing and getting along more or less okay, if sometimes argumentative, in the same society.
You know, that's a wonderful thing, and I really appreciate what your caller said. You know, I first started thinking about writing this book a couple of decades ago before there was a burst of books on atheism. And I was frankly nervous whether these ideas would really be accepted, whether you could appear on radio saying these sorts of things or appear on TV, whether, you know, whether people would react angrily. And I think things have changed in the world, and I think they've changed in some very nice ways. Not everywhere, not among everybody, but among a lot of people.
There has been what's been accused of being a combative strain of new atheism, people have called it, people aggressively challenging, though still on an intellectual level, Christianity and other religions. Do you see things heating up in that way, or is it just nothing compared to most of human history?
Well, human history, you know, as you're saying, always works with a certain amount of conflict, and I guess you need people who are willing to take angry positions and really fight for their rights. And some of the, you know, some of the advances in religion and some of the advances in the struggle to ease the hold of religion have required, I think, people like that. But I think you know, the more important thing goes on in all of us. I mean, I can see religion fading in certain ways. I think, you know, it's hard to see because we hear the people who are loudest about religion around the world and in the United States, and sometimes who seem most intolerant, and maybe we hear the loudest atheists too. But I think religion is in many ways a weaker force. I don't think everybody's becoming atheists. Obviously, the number is much lower. But I think the demands of religion, Americans are much less likely to tell pollsters today that their religion is the only acceptable one. And that's a significant change.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Greg on the line in Milwaukee. Greg, hi, you're on the air.
Good evening. Hi, good evening. I believe that I'm an atheist myself. I don't cut people down for believing in religion because I don't cut people down for saying 2 + 2 = 5 either. I might tell them their mistakes. I can't believe in the Immaculate Conception. I believe Mary had sex. I'm a scientist. I look at all the creations. I look at Galileo. He was arrested. I look at Michelangelo put in prison or house arrested. And every time a scientist who really thinks, he can't believe in things because he's told things by his parents. He has to be able to prove things to himself. And if you can't find any proof for anything in the Bible, and then you hear people saying, oh, it's everything's predicted in the Bible. But it's not. It's so ambiguous. I can't see anyone reading the same book for their whole lifetime over and over again. It's just, to me, it's foolhardy.
Greg, thanks for the call. And Mitch, religion and science, and this is a big part of your book. Let's look at a figure like Isaac Newton, a religious person, considered himself very religious, finding out the rules that God designed the universe by was, I'm paraphrasing incredibly there. Do they have to be incompatible, science and religion?
Well, I mean, Newton is a fascinating example, and in some ways it doesn't really support Greg's point, because as you're saying, Newton was a religious man. And he spent a lot of time trying to think through religion. But I think it's also really significant for my argument of the importance of atheism in creating the modern world that in Isaac Newton's great book, maybe one of the greatest works of reason ever written, Principia Mathematica, in the first edition of that book, he never mentions God. So he worked out a whole theory of how the universe works. He taught us as much about the universe as anyone ever did, and he did it leaving God out. And in some ways, you almost have to, because if God is the one that's pushing all the planets around and moving everything and keeping everything in order, then what's to figure out? I mean, Newton subtracted that idea, and I think that was, and that's how I think we learned.
And you make the point in the book that as we understood more things scientifically or with natural explanations, each time that happened, it created less room for religion to do the explaining.
Yes, that's certainly true. And, maybe the other great science book in human history is Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species. And one of the things I learned looking at this, that Darwin, who had been quite a religious man, didn't lose his religion because he came up with his theory of evolution by natural selection. He lost his religion before that, and after having lost it and becoming pretty much a person without religion, he was able to think up his theory. And I think, again, that's crucial. If he had, if he was still trying to figure out God's role in the whole thing, if he was still taking the Bible as authority, I don't think he would have worked out his magnificent theory.
We'll go back to our phones now. We've got Bree on the line in Madison. Bree, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I would just like to say great show. And I just had a comment regarding the whole idea of atheism and maybe viewing it as a religion itself, but replacing the God figure with the self. And maybe that is why there's been such an increase, because the faith is in human knowledge and the development of the self. And I'd like to hear feedback regarding that. But, thank you for having me.
Bree, thanks for the call. Mitch, atheism is a religion replacing God with ourselves, she's saying.
Well, I think we have to acknowledge that there is something humble about the religious attitude. I mean, one of the positive things about religion is this ability to humble yourself before a larger force. But I haven't really seen any evidence that atheists are particularly self-involved. And one of the fun things about my book was really discovering all these important characters who have been forgotten. And many of them end up being people who quite the opposite of being selfish and self-involved, really struggled for human rights. Perhaps my favorite is a woman named Ernestine Rose, a rabbi's daughter born in Poland, who broke with her father when she started questioning religion. He said a young girl shouldn't do that, and ended up making her way to London and eventually to New York, where she became one of the most prominent crusaders against slavery, sharing stage with Frederick Douglass often, for women's rights. She often traveled with Susan B. Anthony, and Anthony handled the business arrangements. Ernestine Rose gave the speeches, and also speaking out constantly for atheism and against what she called mental slavery or religion.
Thanks a lot for the call, Bree. We just have a couple minutes left, and I'm going to drop kind of a huge question, Mitch. We touched on this a bit earlier. Atheism, you've made the case, helped a lot with scientific progress, but can it replace the moral component of a religion? Can there be a moral system without a God imposing it on us?
Well, I think we're at a point in human history where many of us are starting to realize that there is no external, simple, clear moral system that was written down in a book a few thousand years ago. And I think this is a wonderful point in human history, because we're having to work this stuff out ourselves. And in many ways, I think we're beginning, and we're doing this. I mean, we talked before about how some of the early atheist movements didn't lead to such happy conclusions during the French Revolution and with Karl Marx's ideas, but I think we're doing much better now. And I think most of us, even the religious among us, are doing a pretty good job of working out our own moral systems. I'm not sure we need some deity up in the heavens, or basically some old holy book talking about it in thousand-year-old terms, where women are meant to serve man, where homosexuality is automatically immoral, and love between people of the same sex is deserving of killing and punishment. I don't think we need that to work at our moral system. I think we're doing a pretty good job, obviously not a perfect job, of beginning to work that out ourselves.
Mitch, thanks for joining us today.
my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Mitchell Stevens, historian and professor of journalism at New York University. He was talking about his new book, Imagine There's No Heaven, How Atheism Helped Create the Modern World.